Near FM.
God Talk with Anthony Brabazon, talking about Jesus, died, buried, risen, and relevant.
I wanna go deeper.
Sorry, yeah. We had a little bit of silence there on the air.
I thought it was
Anthony here on Near FM, and we're here every Friday, or sorry, every Monday. I get confused with my old age here. It is a Monday. It is 5 o'clock, and yes, we are live in Studio One. And apologise for that little bit of dead air that gave you a chance to make the cup of tea and the piece of toast for our regular programme. And I'm not alone today, and as always, I have the Holy Spirit here with me, I trust, and but I have a person too, and it's Sean Cronin. Sean.
Great to be here. Thank you, Auntie.
Yeah, a great expense, of course. You know, we always blow our budget when we get you in, Sean. So just before we went on air, we were tested out your radio mid-Atlantic accent, so you were doing quite well there, so give us a blast.
Dad, don't ask me to do that, Anthony, come on.
I might ask you to sing a song before the day's out, but we'll get there shortly. Anyway, what we've been doing in God Talk over recent weeks, we've been talking about hearing the voice of God. And for many people, this is an abstract thing. It's kind of a bit intellectual, it's a bit kind of out there, but you know, but not very real in their lives. But it's not so with Sean. You know, Sean, just on that very point about hearing from God. Okay, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Have you ever heard from God?
Yes, absolutely, Anthony, yeah. I mean, if you read the scriptures from Genesis right through to Revelation, the Bible is full of people who spoke to God, but also who heard from God. So I think it sounds strange in the world we live in, but when you read the Bible, it's very, very commonplace.
Yeah. I suppose if you take a view, if there is a God, if there is a creator, you know, well, of course, doesn't he have the ability? If he made all the cosmos, he made all the beautiful flowers, he made all the people, made all these incredible things. And in fact, somebody was showing me on the internet a video of what goes on in the cell. So astonishing, God, the way he made things. And to think that he just can't speak. It's a bit crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? And I think about sometimes the problem with the hearing, isn't it? We've got kind of spiritual wax built up in our ear.
Yeah, there's a lot of things associated with, you know, I mean, there's people think about hearing God, they automatically think of almost like mental instability because, like, who does this guy think he is? You know, he's heard from God. But if you read the history of Christianity, it's very commonplace. And there are things which you hear in your relationship with God that you won't hear anywhere else, confirming that it is God and not just some abstract, you know, part of your imagination.
Yeah, right. And just as a believer, Sean, you've known the Lord, I know, a number of years, you know, and as people use these words like walked with God, you know, but you've regularly hear the Lord giving you direction, is that right? Just to do this or not do that.
Different things, you know, it wouldn't be all the time, but there are certain times when it's very recognizable. Mm-hmm. Like there's a difference between a sort of your spirit, you know, instructing you to do something, which is a kind of like an inclination. Then there's also a difference between it and when God speaks, there's a very much a clarity about that.
Yeah.
A very, very clear direction, and it has a different tone.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. I remember years ago, I might be at a Christian meeting, and two different people would say different things. One person would say, stand up and say, "God told me," and they'd be very definitive about something. Mm. And then someone else might say, "I feel the Lord is telling me."
Yeah.
And there's a kind of a gentleness about that.
Yeah.
And there's a sense of not forcing their word on you.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And do you find that too in prophetic, that it's easier to receive when somebody goes the second route? Or maybe you prefer the guy says the Lord.
No, it is. I think there are certain words that come to you that are very, very, you know, the Bible calls it a word of knowledge. It's very, very clear that you know something about that person that you wouldn't have known before, or you wouldn't have any way of knowing. And when that word comes, I think it's different. then if it's for a general bunch of Christians at a Christian meeting, where you're not saying, look, I'm in charge here or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You're kind of leaving it with people. You're not trying to dominate them or manipulate them, but you're saying, look, I sense this, but you know, it's up to you guys if you want to take it or not.
Yeah, it's very interesting you mentioned that spiritual gift, a word of knowledge, getting information from God that is you don't know yourself. I was a few years ago, I was down in Temple Bar, I was sharing the gospel, and had a Jesus sign held up, and this French atheist came up to me. It was about 11 o'clock at night, you know.
Sounds like a scene from the Late Late Show.
Oh yeah, this guy says, oh, we can't believe in God, you know, and he started talking about all the atheist worldview. And right. I just kept quiet, and I quietly in my heart, I just said, Lord, what's wrong with this fella, you know? And I just had this gentle impression on my mind. Sean's cracking up here. Just this gentle impression that he had a pain in his chest. And after he'd kind of spoken a good bit of philosophy, atheist stuff, and shooting it at me, you know, I said, do you have a pain in your chest? And the guy absolutely froze. I'll never forget it. You know, all of his arguments stopped on a sixpence, you know, and then he just stared at me. And then he just quietly kind of walked off and disappeared. And I saw him the far side of the crowd at Temple Bar Square, and he just kind of turned back, looked at me again and disappeared. But I had, before he left, I knew I had about 20 seconds to tell him the gospel, which I did, you know.
Yeah.
I told him that God knows everything about him, loves him, paid for his sins and everything. So that was just an example.
Powerful.
A word of knowledge.
Powerful,
know?
Yeah.
And maybe you've had experience similar.
Well, the other day, I mentioned this to you, we were talking to a lady in Blanchardstown Shopping Centre, me and two other Christians, Jackie and Richie, and I just got this overwhelming sense that she suffered from mental illness.
Yeah.
And I said it to her. I said, look, you know, I feel like you've suffered from mental illness. And she said to me, well, sure hasn't everybody. And then it was immediate distraction, deflection from herself. It was like a defense mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I don't know about everybody, but I do know about you, I said. Yeah. And God wants to heal you. And we asked if we could pray for her, and we did pray for her. And she quietened. The deflection stopped, the defensiveness stopped, and she received the word that we had for her.
Yeah.
And we left it at that.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing gift.
It's a great gift, it really is.
Amazing
and,
gift.
You know, I mean, I suppose like any spiritual gifts, you practice them, don't you? You know, you just kind of step out in faith as you feel the Lord might want you to say something.
Yeah.
It can feel like bungee jumping, a bit scary, you know.
Yeah. At first it is, yeah.
At first, yeah.
Yeah, you develop that inclination of God as the years go on.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, and God really honors that. I just think everyone gives out about Peter getting walking on the water and then sinking because of his unbelief. But he was the only guy who got out of the boat.
Yeah, you know? Good way of putting it.
Yeah. So, Sean, I'm going to just move it slightly to the left, this discussion. You know, I talked about, you know, I heard the phrase a while ago where people were saying, be yourself in Jesus and he'll be himself in you. A great phrase, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, and on this topic of, say, lifestyle evangelism, you know, just tell me your thoughts on this one. Lifestyle evangelism being just sharing the gospel, not sort of saying, hey, this is evangelism time, this is now when I'm going to go out, but just in your daily work as you're out there going to the shop, talking to people, driving the car, whatever it is, you know, and you're interacting with people. You know, I've heard stories from you about just this natural sharing the gospel. Is there any recent ones come to mind? Or
there would be several. I think, Anthony, it's when you're aware that God, you know, you're aware that God wants to, and I know this, you would understand this, you're aware that God wants to touch people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you're aware that you're in certain people's lives, you're the only person that will touch certain people in a certain day.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you're in a very privileged position to be able to bring the gospel. Now, I'll be honest, I go out of my way not to force the gospel. I'll talk about it. I can talk about sport. I'll talk about politics. I'll talk about you name it. And I'm comfortable talking about those subjects. But inevitably, what I've found is that if there's an opportunity there in terms of if somebody is hungry or it'll come up. Yeah. It'll just come up without me trying to force an agenda.
Yeah.
And I'm much more comfortable with that than I have to witness to this person, because that just doesn't work for me.
No, I think people read it too. If you're just on a I won't use the word mission, but something, you know, you're kind of deliberately going out to share the gospel. I'm not against that. I think there's times for everything, you know.
Yeah, I'm not against it either.
I think being yourself is important, that you would just talk about life. And it might be football first. I know you're a big Man United supporter, you know, so that if they win the FA Cup or something, you know.
We have much to shout about at the moment. But there's a guy talking about that, Anthony. There's been a guy who I have known for nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
And I'd probably shared with him once in that 20 years. And all the other times I spoke to that man, I spoke to him about sport.
Yeah.
Big soccer fan. Spoke to him about sport, spoke to him about life, family, different things. Mm-hmm. But inevitably, the opportunity came up where it turned out that man was really, really suffering in his personal life, suffering with a number of different issues. And one day the story, you know, it came up and he asked the question, how have you got that peace in your life? What's that about? And I ended up leading that guy in the sinner's prayer to know the Lord.
Yeah.
And since then he's gone on a journey to get to know God better since. But you know, that was a turning point. So as I say, 20 years almost, you know, working for the guy a couple of times in my life, talking about everything but yet when the opportunity came, no holding back.
Yeah, because there's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet, you know.
Yeah.
And we see that in Ecclesiastes, but we see it in Jesus' life too. You know, he was well able to preach, and he did preach many a time.
Yeah.
But here he was on his own trial right in front of Pilate. And, you know, us with our Pentecostal zeal, we'd be saying, yeah, great chance. You know, why don't you witness straight to him? And Jesus said nothing. He was silent, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, huh? But that was the wisdom of the Lord at the time.
Yeah.
To be that way. So anyway, Sean, before we get to the music, you know, I got to ask you a question. You ready? You better put on your seatbelt.
I don't know
for this
if I'm
one.
Ready or not.
Okay. Are Christians weird?
I think they can be. I think they can be. Yeah. I think there's a mixture of different types of people who are Christians, and it can be their perception. It can be the perception of people, in different, you know, areas. Yeah. Of society that they are, but the same token, everybody is probably a little bit weird in their own way, a little bit strange.
True, and probably a very unfair question, that one. But
yeah, are Christians weird? That's a hard one. But you know, they can be.
yeah.
I think it's probably the less committal, long committal way of answering that question.
Yeah, but that's a good political answer to that one. Anyway, we're gonna take a wee break here, Sean, a musical break, and I have a really special piece. This is from Delirious, and there's a story behind this song. It's called God You Are My God, and it comes from the Psalms. And Martin Smith, who loves the Lord, this guy, and he's the lead singer in Delirious, he decided he wanted to get some Gregorian chant at the beginning of the song. So he goes to his mates down in Downshire Abbey or somewhere in England, and he asked, do you have a version of this psalm? And they said, which one? They had about 8 versions of it.
Wow.
So anyway, they picked one and they played it. So anyway, we're going to... hold on a minute. I've lost my spot here. You know, God, You Are My God is the name of the song. And Delirious are the band. So enjoy this one.
We'll be right back. 'cause your love is better than my life. I lift up my hands in sacrifice.
This is God Talk on 90.3 Near FM.
Now, that was a great sign of Delirious. God, you're my God. Hey, so next time you're in the Benedictine Abbey, Sean, that's going to break out, that song.
Very good.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, well, that's a good track, actually, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you know, it's just a worship song straight out of the Psalms, you know, and so many great songs have been written by David and others back thousands of years ago, you know, because they came from a heart that loved the Lord, you know. So there you go. And so you're listening to God Talk. We're here every Monday 5 to 5:30. Anthony Brabazon here, your host, and I'm delighted to be joined by Sean Cronin. And Sean, you know, I suppose I'll get back to basics here, you know. If you met your, I was going to ask you a question here. I said, what advice would you give your 16-year-old self if you ran into young whippersnapper Sean Cronin, you know, there working as a trainee hairdresser who hadn't yet come to Jesus? What would you say to him, Sean?
That's a good question. I you know, I've probably offered advice in my head to him at different other stages. Of life, you know.
Apart from telling him to find a better football club to follow, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly in the 80s, that would have been the case. But it's a hard question, Anthony. I think that God sort of brought me a route at 16. By the time I was 17, I was ready. We'd been looking at different role models in our life, me and a friend of mine, and we'd been looking towards guys who were sort of, you know, they were making a few bob, and they had women hanging out of them, and they had party lifestyles. Yeah. And it seemed to be very appealing to young 16, 17-year-old me.
And where did you grow up, Sean?
Well, I grew up up the road in Whitehall, but this was in town. I was working in town, and we were meeting people in town, you know, and we were meeting these socialite people.
Right.
And we were beginning to emulate the older guys. You know, there was a friend of mine's brother, and there was a group, and there just seemed to be this sort of buzz of activity around these guys. And there was always parties going on, and
yeah,
we were getting sort of token invites, you know, I sure bring the brother along, you know, if you like, type of thing. And we were looking at all this kind of stuff going on. And
all this glam and glitz, yeah.
Yeah, all these women and all of the you know, the stuff associated with parties and drink and clothes and cars, and you know, this is an attractive sort of lifestyle. And I was seriously considering this as our, you know, my future, you know, kind of thing. And it was just at a junction, really, that God intervened in my life and said, I have a plan for you. And that was it. And I've no question that God did that at the right time. I think that was definitely brought on by prayers, but I think you're even positioned in a family that will pray for you, or there's been people in your line that have prayed for you. Maybe a grandmother has prayed for her grandchildren,
yeah,
and things like that, which we don't really understand. But I really felt that God had his hand on my life, and that, you know, God was intervening in a very real way, revealing himself, playing his cards in my life. And that became to me amazing, that God was real, number one, and number two, that he had a plan for my life. And sure, like, if God has a plan for your life, wouldn't you want to know what it is?
Yeah, but just a little bit more specifically, Sean, you know, you say there's a God, you know, he has a plan for your life, you know, he loves you and all this stuff. But you know, what's the heart of the gospel? Like, what would you say to someone? Because when we do radio, look, I can see you across the studio here and you can see me and we're talking to each other. But our listeners, I can't see them. So, you know, but you're there, you know.
Yeah.
And yet there's a sense that there's somebody listening who may not understand or have heard the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. How would you phrase it if I was like an elevator pitch, if I was to give you I'll tell you now, give you 4 minutes, John,
right,
or max, you know, what would you say to someone?
Man has turned away from God wholesale. God now is considered an old fashioned word in our society. If you speak of Christ or Christianity, it's considered archaic. And man has been turning away from God for centuries. But God reached out through the person of Jesus Christ on the cross, a humbling situation where a man was completely stripped of his pride, was stripped of his skin, was whipped, was battered, was completely annihilated and ultimately crucified. And that was God's way of reaching to mankind and saying, if you believe in this man, you will live forever. After a short period of time, that man rose from the dead. This is the phenomenon of Christianity, that a man came out of a tomb who had been dead and is written about by eyewitnesses. Despite the world's attempts to discredit this this book called the Bible, the Gospels have unchanged and have brought the same message for centuries, that the eyewitnesses saw this man after he had risen from the dead. And he said, those who believe in me will never die. And when we ask this Jesus into our life, we turn away from our sin. He comes into our heart and becomes real and reveals all the things of the kingdom of heaven to us. It's a phenomenon. It screams at our natural mind, yet in our spirit, in our hearts, we know it's the truth.
Yeah. Wow.
And when we receive this Christ, we become filled with joy and peace, peace that we knew we were created for. And when we receive him, we have the right to become children of God. And as children, he speaks to us and teaches us the things that he has for us in this life and in the life to come. And the blood that he shed upon the cross washes away the guilt of our sin, the shame of our sin, removes our depression and oppression, removes the sadness in our soul, and gives us joy, the oil of joy instead of sadness, and garments of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. That was what Jesus spoke about.
Yeah, a lot of heaviness around today. Yeah.
There is. Yeah. There is, absolutely. And that's it, in a nutshell.
Yeah, wow. And you talk about the blood, you know, I mean, it amazes me that there was no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Like the cost of sin was, it wasn't free or something the judge could just forget about or ignore, you know. There was a price, a high price for blood representing life. So somebody had to die because of the breaking of God's law.
Yeah.
And I suppose we saw that in Jesus on the cross, the fulfillment of the Lamb of God. Yeah.
We saw that, and he's the young people say, what about all these other gods? Well, none of them died for you. None of them died for you. There's been gods around, little g's, since the beginning of mankind. The Old Testament is full of gods, but none of them ever died for us, except Jesus. So I want to go with the guy who died for me, because that is a demonstration of love, somebody who died for me, who personalizes it.
But if you think of it, Sean, on a practical level, just imagine you were swimming in the sea, right, and you were drowning and some hero jumped in and saved you, right? You'd be so grateful for the guy who saved your life, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, and yet we see that in Jesus, how he saved us, you know, in a real way. So we've an opportunity to be grateful and turn to him instead of rebelling against him all the time. Yeah, well, look, Sean, it's been a thrill having you. It really has.
Thank you, Andy. Great to be here.
Look, that's great having you. I really look forward to the next time, which I hope is in the not-too-distant future. You know, you're listening to God Talk. We're here every Monday, as I say, and the prior programmes, you can get them on the Listen Again section of the Near FM website. So, on that note, we're going to say goodbye and thanks very much. And just to say that there's been a little bit of a shuffle around in the schedule on Near FM. We had Everyone on Wick before this programme, and now what we're going to have is Social Fabric after the programme. So apologies if you're expecting one programme and the other one came up, but that's okay. We got them all in. Just the order was mixed up a little bit. But anyway, stay tuned. God bless you all, and thank you very, very much for listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to God Talk with Anthony Brabazon. Our 24/7 comment, prayer and text line is 087-979-5454. Until next week, may you seek him, may you find him, and may you love him.